Morning, everybody. How we doing? Good. Today, well, actually, just a little bit about yesterday. I thought yesterday was good practice. I thought the focus was good, the intensity was good, and a lot of things that on a typical Wednesday, a lot of new things, and you go through the process of trying to get those straightened out, trying to understand exactly what you have to do, where they fit, where their players are, and you know, I like the way the guys worked yesterday. And today, really move into an area that we have to improve on with third down, and I think nothing will help us more significantly than that, our ability to get off the field and our ability to stay on the field. And in doing that, that'll help the complementary football and help a lot of things. So we spent a lot of time as a staff trying to identify areas where we can improve, and we'll work at it here today and move into to the red zone tomorrow. So with that, open up to questions.
Eric, what kind of reverberations do you think a major position change like yesterday's have in the locker room? Is it something that's going to make guys more insecure or make them work even harder?
Well, I think the important thing is to always explain what the end goal is, and that's something that I've done and will continue to do. The goal is really to put the best group on that we can, and to make decisions that will help us win the game. And there's nothing more to it than that. And we're all striving to be the best at our positions, and all the players are trying to be starters. And really, what would be a concern is if a guy was, if there was a change made and the guy that the change was made with wasn't competitive about it. And you'd like a locker room full of guys that each week they're trying to get to the game, they're trying to move up in the practice squad, they're trying to get better at their position. So the important thing is communicating it out and everybody understanding what the goal is.
Off to a great start for them. What is he looks different than last year. What is he doing different, and what's he doing so well?
He's done a nice job with a few different combinations of moves. I think he's done a nice job. I like his motor. He plays with a high motor. Some of those sacks that he's gotten have been real effort sacks, where maybe his first rush was stopped, but he was able to transition to a second move and then continue to rush and end up getting the sack. And with Zim, he will bring different combinations of pressure, which changes the protection. That creates some opportunities. Sometimes those sacks come in bunches, and he had a nice bunch the other not too long ago.
And the receiver's been getting open regularly.
I think in each play it's varying levels, but there have been times where we could have done a better job getting open. It's hard to say play to play, but I'd say that overall they've done a pretty good job of providing some opportunities, and I think they can continue to improve some of the everybody has a different word for it, but the move at the top of the route, especially in man coverage where you get the DB to move. I think our depths can continue to improve, you know, hitting the right point, that can continue to improve. I don't think it's been inherently flawed or anything like that, but there's a lot of things that we can get better at.
And just to follow on that, Eric, when you made the decision to move Kellen Winslow, you knew you were taking a lot of the offense away from the Browns. So just talk about what went into that decision.
Well, at each point, you look at the decisions that you have, and we had an opportunity to improve our draft, and felt that Kellen is an outstanding player. We're looking for a tight end, combination of both, and have some balance there. But he's an outstanding player, and you know, I'm sure he'll do well in Tampa.
Eric, did the move yesterday with the quarterbacks, does it affect the amount of reps Ratliff gets in practice at all? Does he get more?
No, he really gets the show team reps, and he'll get not necessarily the bulk of the show team reps. He'll get part of the show team reps. He'll do some work post-practice during the opportunity period that we have. So usually the third gets the least of the group.
Games like you had the last 2 weeks and you struggled, do you, as a coaching staff, do you step back and say, maybe not change what you're teaching, but maybe kind of look back and see if you can change the approach so that it maybe is conveyed better to them or maybe they understand it better?
You know, as you go through it, you work to improve the approach at all times, and you work to improve the understanding of what the goal is at all times. Different times, I know in New York, early on defensively, we weren't, this first year, weren't doing as well as we wanted to do. And after the bye, kind of as things really, I think as the understanding, the technique got better, we ended up being in the top 10 in almost every category for the last 8 games. And up to that point, we were in, you know, the bottom part of the league in almost every category. At that point where you really understand how it all works, you're really doing a good job of fitting, and that's when you get a chance to make real strides. It's the same thing offensively, and it's a constant process of evaluating both approach, scheme, and then also being consistent with how you're working at it, because there are things that over time as you do it and you get better at it, can improve.
Can you talk a little bit about the passion and intensity and fire you're seeing from your team on Sunday afternoons, and the level that you're seeing? Are you happy with that?
Well, you know, I've seen the group work throughout the week, and I think the work's been very good. I think that the results haven't been what any of us want, and you know, we need to be able to play consistently throughout the game. And different points, we've played some good football. Different points, we've made some mistakes that have really shifted the whole course of the game. And got to be able to, when that shift strikes, respond to it. Got to be able to maintain drives, stop drives. And I'm not trying to give a broad answer here, but there's a lot of different points where if we'd done things a little bit better, I think the complexion of the game would have changed dramatically.
Lewis and Dawson didn't practice yesterday. Any indication about today yet?
Say cautiously optimistic. I think with all those guys, we're going to come down to the end of the week and see where they are.
Sell to the players, they go from the transition of going into the season hoping they can make the playoffs to a point where they realize they're not, and it's now just play out the season and try to improve.
It's never going to be about that here. It's never been about that anywhere I've been. It's not 2 months down the road, because it's always going to be about improving right now. And focusing right now. And what I'm saying by that is not that isn't important. That is the end goal, is to make the playoffs, win the Super Bowl. That's everybody's end goal. But there's a very specific way that you do it. And it's, you know, it's a cliche, and it's a cliche for a reason, of one game at a time. I mean, because it's true. And you start projecting out one way or the other, and doesn't work. It just doesn't work. The best way is to be in the moment, do the things right in the moment, improve at that point, pour your efforts into the opponent that you have, really understand them, and that gives you your best chance to succeed.
Coach, all your guys have radios and TVs, and if they turn them on, you guys are in the middle of a storm, and presumably a lot of guys are hearing the sharp criticism
about the 0-3 start. From that standpoint, how do you keep guys bought in, or how do you get guys who weren't already bought in to buy in?
You know, there's always going to be opinions about everything that takes place, and you respect those things. But the one thing that you can control is how you perform and how you work and what you do. And that's the thing that should shape everybody's actions each day. And what's controllable is the things that we do. In terms of external things, you can't focus on those things because those are things you can't control. Where you can't control how you practice, you can't control how you study, you can't control how you perform, and those are all things that we need to do better and need to continue to improve on.
Yesterday, one of the reasons you said you passed up Maualuga was for receiver depth. So the fact that Robiskie hasn't been active for two of the three games, how do you is that disappointing to you that he's not good enough to be active?
Well, Tony, with rookies, they develop at different times. And, you know, I've liked the way that Josh has developed as a receiver. I think he's done some really good things. At that point in time, was really an unknown. And right now, what he needs to continue to do, Brian needs to continue to do, is carve out that role on teams, carve out that role on offense, and be able to contribute when he goes to the game. And the good thing is he has a chance every week, just like everybody who's on the 53 does.
But Chris, his yards per catch average is so unusually low for a number two wideout. But do you factor in things like he got a face mask when he was turning the corner and he drew a PI downfield the stats are bad, but you know, how do you process it beyond that?
Yeah, it's hard to. You do look at those things, and those things are important. It's like when you look at a self-scout or an opponent scout. You really need to look at the numbers, but you need to look at the context of when it happened. And you may have a defense call that looks like it has a really lousy average, and if there's one big run out of 30, you know, it skews it. And you got to be able to look at it in the bigger picture as to what the success and failure is.
How do you project him coming along, given what you've seen so far?
Well, I think like I said, he's done a lot of good things. I think one of the things that he's done really well that never shows up on a stat sheet is block, and that's important. I think that he adds a component of the offense where you can do some things that maybe a little less traditional, and by being in there, it doesn't telegraph it as much. I think he's made some improvements on his routes. I think he's got a lot of things that he can get better at. But the nice thing about Josh is he's a very consistent worker, and seeing that whether it's on special teams, whether it's on offense, he's got a good motor.
Your receivers running deeper routes with Derek under center than Brady. Opens you up a little bit more to
we've
that.
We've called combination of routes throughout the course of the season. So, I mean, deeper routes called. There's in terms of breakdown. Usually, there's a deep element to most routes. Could be one component. Could be two components. You know, except for maybe the quick passing game that's called. So those elements are always in there. Some routes convert. We may have a hitch called, which is a little 5-yard stop. If you get press coverage, that converts to a fade. So maybe called a quick pass and goes deep or vice versa.
How has Eric Barton played these three games?
You know, I think he's done one of the things that Eric does really well is identify what the opponent's doing, does a good job with the defense in terms of trying to communicate out all the adjustments. There's been some plays which I thought he's done really well, and a few things. And he's pretty self-critical, and he's pretty self-aware in terms of where his weaknesses were, where he hasn't played well, and he's the type of guy that corrects it. Very, very smart, intuitive, all those things.
carve out a role on special teams when traditionally a lot of receivers don't play there? Like, I don't think he did it at Ohio State. You know, is it quite an adjustment for that?
No, I understand exactly what you're saying, and the best example I can give you is Brad Smith, who never played a lick of special teams. I don't even know if he knew where the special teams room was. And that's when he came in, coming in as a quarterback, really did a great job with it. First game, I believe his first game as a rookie, had two tackles as a gunner. It's been a core teams player there over the course of time as he's working to develop as a receiver. And, you know, I've seen a lot of different offensive guys over time who really have never played in those roles go out and excel. And some guys, it hits a little bit later than other guys. I'm trying to think of the fullback we had when I was with Parcells that was not very good at special teams at all. I mean, and that's being kind. And then he ended up becoming a real core guy in the league because he got it. He understood it. It started making sense. It wasn't right off the bat, but he did. He ended up having a really nice career in that role and as a fullback.
Coach, when you look at your defense, first 3 weeks we talked a lot about big plays, lots of yardage given up through the air on the ground. What are you seeing on film, in practice, from a defensive standpoint that you like, some positives that you're seeing, since, you know, a lot of talk has been negative? What are you seeing on that side of the football that you like?
There's been times where, you know, if you just look against Minnesota, against a dominant running back in the first half, to be able to do the things that we did there. And those are things that we can do each week. And I thought in that situation the fits were really good. Denver, same thing. The issue is you can't hold up, and then have one run that should really go for 10 or 15 go for 60. It just doesn't work. You can't blitz, have the ball caught, and it should be 20 yards and it goes for 60. That it doesn't work. Then, you know, if that is the case, you have to change the approach, and you can't bring as much pressure. You can't have the variation that you'd like to have. You can't attack protections as effectively as you'd like to. So there's been really strong moments in terms of communication, fits, understanding, and then there's been the breakdowns, and if you do have a breakdown, it's got to be minimized. It can't be a home run.
Rob came in here last week or the week before and talked about how he blew that game by calling those pressures. Are you and him at odds so how much you want to pressure, how much
no.
you want to blitz?
No, not at all. I think, you know, I don't think any one call defined that game. I think there were plenty of calls in all three phases, and there's plenty of plays in terms of performance in all three phases that define that game. In terms of him saying one call, that's not the case. And with any call, you got to be able to make it work. And that means, like I said, when you have the opportunity to tackle, you got to make the tackle. And same thing in the running game. It's got to be sound. It's got to be consistent.
In terms of going through hard times and surviving hard times, is the 2000 season your prime example that you kind of processed through within yourself of how times were pretty bad and you stick to a process and go? Is that what you use, the 2000 season, or what do you use to you know, fortify the belief that that's what you do?
Yeah, I've been through 1995 wasn't a great year in terms of that. 2000, 96 in Baltimore, not very good. But the thing that I've learned is you go to a team like the Jets. At that point, I think they were coming off a 1-15, and you do things the right way. You put together a program. You understand that there's going to be bumps in the road. You understand what's important and what you need to continue to grow on and focus on. And you look to build and win in the short term. You look to build and win in the long term. And you make all those decisions based on that. And being part of different programs that have gone through that process, seen it, I've experienced it, I understand it, and certain things that you got to continue to do, and one of them is continue to work at what you're trying to achieve.
When you're having trouble in offense, like you've been having, you as a head coach, you sometimes you just think, I'm going to take over more of what happens on Sunday afternoon.
No, I think what you do is you really go back and look at what you're doing leading up to Sunday afternoon, and you analyze that, because that's a big part of what happens on Sunday, and you work to correct those things there, and then you do also look at the procedure on Sunday and how you can improve there. So it's I don't think it's necessarily just play calling that you'd get involved in. It's okay, how collectively can we improve the process to get to Sunday, and then once we get to Sunday, how can we improve the execution?
There's at least a couple of anonymous players talking to outside media about the situation here. Do you worry at all about a player poisoning the pool, if you will?
You know, my door is always open for anybody who has a concern or has what they feel is an answer or can contribute in a positive way. And that's not lip service. It's true. And, you know, I welcome anybody to do that. And that's the important thing, is to contribute positively. And that's what's going to help us move forward. Contributing negatively doesn't really have any value, doesn't really help anything. And, you know, when you have an opportunity to express yourself and be heard, you should take advantage of it.
Eric, coaches never like to use the term for obvious reasons, must win, because, you know, what happens if you lose? It's hard to sell the team the rest of the season. But if it's not must win, Sunday's game is must blank in your eyes. What would you fill in that blank with?
Well, the thing that we've always talked about is making progress and improving the process, And that's what you need to focus on, because that's what's going to change the results. And that's what we work on, is the process and progress. And each day improving those things, and then that'll improve the outcome.